Hello and welcome to yet another episode, a bonus episode of Ty Sharman Ether and a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Will.
I'm Sam.
And we are excited to talk a little bit about what we know so far about the Amazon Prime show. This was something that we had a couple of folks that wrote into us that just said, you know, they're principally interested in hearing news about the TV show. And so we're just going to kind of talk about everything we know, including some rumors and little bits and pieces as they've come out. So first of all, let's just recap. If you've listened to us regularly, then you will already know about the cast. But in case you haven't, of course, the big one is Rosamund Pike is cast as Moraine, Academy Award nominated actress. Lan is being played by Daniel Henney, who's an experienced TV actor. And then the Two Rivers Five are all relative no names: Josiah Stradowski, Zoe Robbins, Barney Harris, Madeline Madden, Marcus Rutherford are Rand, Nynaeve, Matt Egwene, and Perrin, respectively. While all of them have done some work, it's hard to find too much info on it. Zoe Robbins is probably the only one that's done stuff that has been in the mainstream, and she is, what is she, Sam?
She is a Power Ranger. Ninja Steel.
Sam actually
watched. I watched the first two episodes of Ninja Steel, and it is exactly what you expect.
Yeah.
my 2 and 3 year olds were into it, so.
Well, great. And then it wasn't time wasted.
It is better than a lot of things that are on YouTube.
The showrunner is Rafe Judkins, which is a funny name. The first time I heard it announced over a year and a half ago now, I was trying to Google it and I couldn't figure out how to spell it. Yeah. But he was originally a contestant on Survivor. I think the first season, right?
I need to go watch that just to go see what he's like.
Right.
Might be intriguing. Before he was a writer on any of these shows.
Right. He used that opportunity to later get into show business, and he became a writer on such shows as Chuck and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still going on. Chuck, of course, was fairly successful, especially in its early seasons. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was more of a fan favorite that's managed to...
It's crazy that it's lasted as long as it has, but it had some fun. Like, I think I marathoned the first 3 seasons and just had a good time, really.
Yeah.
Especially because they did try to dovetail it in with the movies, and that's cool.
Absolutely. That gives you a little idea of the kind of background that he has.
You have to hand it to the guy. You know, you look at a lot of people who leave Survivor, and, you know, wasn't there some dude from our hometown who would just sort of drive around in his Hummer?
That was real world.
Excuse me. Yeah. But I think that the point stands, though.
Yeah. There was a guy that was on The Real World and everybody knew his name, and he drove around in his Hummer all the time, and you recognized it because it was like a bright, weird color.
And he was sort of known on that show as being just a loud redneck, I believe.
Yeah.
So props to Rafe for making something of himself and not just trying to ride his Survivor coattails.
Exactly. So there's several other writers listed here. I could read the names, but we know they're not going to mean anything to you.
And I think some of them were at the table read, which we haven't mentioned yet. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, we'll talk about the table read here in a second. I just was going to say that, you know, the writers, you can look them up. I'm just going to let you do that because they all have good credits. I think a few of them have worked on other things with Rafe before, like Chuck or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all of them have some kind of resume, nothing that's like super impressive. The other person involved that's kind of encouraging for the overall tone of it is, and I may not say her name quite right, but Uta Brasewitz, and she's directing the first few episodes. And the reason why that's kind of exciting, she was a director for a few episodes of Stranger Things. And a few episodes of Westworld, a few episodes of Black Sails. But the one that actually I was most intrigued with was that she directed a few episodes of Jessica Jones. And she actually has a pretty extensive list of really good TV shows that she's worked on, including This Is Us, Jane the Virgin, which I know not everybody might be crazy about, but it was won several awards and been a very successful show.
And it's interesting because directors, they have a really unique impact on a TV show, like directing an episode of a TV show. But I mean, like, just looking at one episode to another and knowing that there's been a different director, it really does make a big difference. I mean, same actors, same sets, same, you know, script writers. It really, they can leave their own mark on a single episode even.
Yeah.
Seen that, like, I think about Kevin Smith directing episodes of The Flash or Supergirl. And those were some of the ones I really liked.
Yeah, exactly. You might be interested also to know, Sam, that she was a director of photography before she got into directing. And one of the things she DP'd for was The Wire.
Ah, that is a point in her favor. Absolutely.
Yes.
I am indeed one of those annoying people who says you must watch The Wire.
Yeah. She's a good reason to be excited about the show, if not anything else, because she has probably, of the folks in the production team, the most impressive resume, really. And she's going to be directing at least the first couple of episodes, I think, maybe more than that.
Excellent.
Yeah. So they are filming in the Czech Republic, in Prague. This is kind of their base of operations. There also have been some pretty solid evidence that they've been in Slovenia and Croatia.
That's perfect. That really, just thinking about the lay of the land there, the architecture, that's going to be perfect.
Yeah. A couple of days ago, a tweet came out with a photo of a person that had been hiking in Slovenia and found a production crew.
Oh, wow.
And this person who was hiking said, "Oh, I found the Wheel of Time production crew," and posted a photo, and it got posted on the Wheel of Time subreddit, and several different tweets went out with it. But Narg of the Daily Trollic actually was, I think, the first person to kind of point out that, first of all, this isn't the only Amazon show that is shooting right now.
That's true.
Second season of Carnival Row is shooting right now. And looking at the photo and comparing it to things from the show and everything,
you see fairy wings.
Yeah.
You see fairy wings, then that is definitely not Wheel of Time, and it's definitely Carnival Row.
Well, there are no fairy wings, but there is somebody who looks like they're suspended in such a way as to, for fairy wings to be digitally added later. It's an interesting photo. I'm sure you can find it. It's been all over the fantasy world internet. It's likely not actually production. However, the thing that made me kind of wonder if I was wrong about that was that the next morning after that photo came out, Josha Rand himself posted a photo to his personal Instagram of a river that looked a lot like the one in the photo. So it's entirely possible that they are shooting around the same areas, and that the hiker wasn't wrong, that he may have bumped into a crew for Wheel of Time, but he took a photo maybe of the Carnival Row crew instead of...
Well, we know that there are sheep.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. So, Rafe Judkins has not given us a whole lot of info.
Literally a picture of a sheep.
Yes. Posted one photo. I think it's the only photo he's posted of production to his personal Twitter. He has admitted early on that he is not much of a social media guy.
Yeah.
Also, I think he is probably rightfully concerned with upsetting the powers that be at Amazon about releasing too much.
Sure.
But he posted a single photo.
He's got a
full-time
job here. I mean, you know.
Yeah, right.
But still, just the sheep. We know that there are sheep in the book, so I'll allow it, but give us a little more, man.
I was vaguely interested in the fact that the photo is of a Jacob sheep, which is a particular breed of British domestic sheep that has an unusual feature of having four horns.
Ah.
They're actually not that common. You know, I thought it was just an interesting kind of add to the kind of set dressing that they decided to go with a more rare sheep that add to the otherworldly feel of things.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen a sheep with four horns before.
Not that anybody's really super excited about what kind of sheep they're using, but
I might have thought that two of those horns were added via CG or something.
Well, you know, I wondered that, and that's part of the reason why I came across this and Googled it.
Right, and found out that,
yes, indeed, there are sheep with four horns, and they're just kind of rare.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of other folks that are involved in producing this. Sony is actually the production studio, and which bodes well. There's a lot of good stuff that Sony has put out. For example, House of Cards was a Sony production.
Oh, really? Didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
So they've done a lot of good work over the years. The Daily Trollic has actually a really good kind of running list of all the production people that are involved that we've found out about, and links to some of their pages to tell you a little bit more about them. So if you're interested in getting into find out, for example, who the casting director is or the line producer, they got that over there on the Daily Trollocs subreddit. So go over there and check it out. I will say that I did look up some info on like the costume designers and makeup effects designer, visual effects folks. All of them have pretty good resumes. So
cool.
That bodes well.
Yeah. One thing that occurs to me just thinking about having watched Carnival Row, and it's like inevitable that people are going to want to make comparisons because it's another fantasy show produced by Amazon. And one thing that occurs to me is that Carnival Row was originally supposed to be a movie, I believe, and it was adapted. Mm-hmm. So we have this this TV show that was adapted from a screenplay for a movie, you know, say 2 hours, as opposed to the rich lore that Robert Jordan has built over 14 books.
Right.
So there, I think, you know, it's certainly valid to make comparisons, but I think that Wheel of Time maybe has some things going for it that Carnival Row didn't when it comes to source material.
Well, 15 books, count New Spring.
Right, New Spring, of course.
And then 16 or 17 books if you count The World of Wheel of Time and The Wheel of Time Companion, both of which gave a little bit more of the lore side of things.
I've never actually picked up either one of those. Kind of want to.
The Wheel of Time Companion is a straight up encyclopedia, and most of the info that is available on there now would be available in any of the...
Sure, like on a wiki or something.
Exactly.
Of course, coming from the source.
Right. Yeah, it feels totally legit. So let's go ahead and dive into the big news from this past week, and that is the table read. The fandom has been all crazy about this.
It is so funny to go to the Wheel of Time show subreddit and every post is someone like just frame by frame, you know, like, I think this is so and so. Could this be so and so? You know, it's great.
Exactly.
And latching onto it.
It's less than a minute. If you haven't watched it yet, you can find it on the Wheel of Time Twitter page, the official Wheel of Time Writers Room. That's WOT on Prime Twitter. And so they have it's just a minute long. It shows the cast walking in and seated at a table, reading
lots
a few lines.
Lots of bottles at the table. Lots of water being drank.
Yeah, it's clearly all water bottles, but it's just funny how many there are sitting at that table.
Yeah.
Which indicates that this may not have been the first read through, the one that we're actually watching.
Right, right. They were on break and came back in.
Right. So Twitter user Eratorial Sadai, I'm probably not saying
that three times fast.
Yeah. She posted kind of a breakdown in a Google Doc that goes through almost frame by frame of this and talks through who everyone is. Of course, we've got all the cast that we've already listed, the folks that are going to be playing the main kind of principal roles.
Some writers, then maybe some other people.
Right. And that's mainly, I think, what we want to talk about right now. So you being the more of the Game of Thrones fans, there may have been maybe even a couple of familiar faces in there. So talk to me about those, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, somebody suggested that there's a bespectacled man who appears to be Bruce Bolton, who is
Michael McElhattan. McElhattan? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say his last name. Sorry, guys.
I have no idea,
Somebody's yelling at their...
McLadden. McLadden. Yeah. Maybe McLadden. That seems right. He was Roose Bolton in Game of Thrones. He did a great job of that in Game of Thrones. So if that is fact, and it's hard to say for sure because he's kind of got his hand over his mouth and got the glasses on, which he doesn't wear glasses in Game of Thrones. But I could see it.
It's not at all confirmed that that's who it is, but the thing is, it looks like there's an actor sitting there, and he looks a lot like this guy from Game of Thrones. And people have been asking, is it Tam? Is it Baden Fain?
Right,
is it Tom the Gleeman?
Mm-hmm.
And It could be a lot of different characters there. For all we know, it could be old Sin Bui, and he just happens to be sitting there at the table read.
Right.
But he wasn't the only one. We also had Stuart Graham.
Yes, indeed.
And I actually don't see that as much in this photo, but it's been pointed out that on Stuart Graham's Twitter, he has said that he is in Prague right now. And apparently he also follows the Wheel of Time Writers Room on Twitter. So there's actually
some proof there.
He's been in a lot of things.
Right, right.
Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, a lot of different British shows too. He's done a ton of work though. If it is him, then
it makes sense that we would have some of those characters in this table read, because I'm pretty sure that they confirmed that this table read encompassed two episodes, perhaps.
Yes.
And if that's the case, we would absolutely expect to have some of those particular characters you listed.
Yeah.
But on Fane, certainly. I mean, we would have to have.
Right.
Tam Althor makes maybe the most sense for Michael McClatton. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see that for sure.
Some folks are wondering if Stuart Graham, a lot of folks are thinking, oh, maybe he's Tom, and then people are arguing over that. No, he'd be a terrible Tom and everything. We just don't know at this point. It's all conjecture.
Wild speculation.
There's a guy that looks like Stuart Graham sitting at this table, and he is probably playing a part, is the most that we can tell you.
There we go, yeah.
Some of these other ones to the side are kind of interesting. There's a guy to the left of probably Stuart Graham, who is probably an actor named Johan Myers.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in a number of things, Black Hawk Down, The Medallion. he's kind of got a face that's a little familiar. He's a darker complected guy. A lot of folks are thinking that he may be Bran Alvear.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah, I could see that.
That, I think, is pretty likely. That would go along with the Two Rivers folks largely being darker complected. Next to him, there's a woman some people think is an actress named Gina McKee, who I'm not familiar with. Next to her,
Lalita Chakrabarty.
Yes, and she's been in a fair amount of stuff. You know, some folks are thinking maybe she's Egwene's mom.
That would also fit.
Yeah, any of those things could do.
If anything, she looks, you know, a fair amount like Madeline Madden.
Right.
Facial features, so I could see it.
Yeah. Then we have, and I'm absolutely going to butcher this young woman's name, so Nana Agai Mbadu. I feel like that's a pretty good
That's probably guess. About as good as I could have guessed.
Nana Agai Mbadu does not have a huge resume. She actually was in Ready Player One as an uncredited gospel singer. I don't even know where there were gospel singers in Ready Player One.
There was a lot going on in Ready Player One. So.
It's true. She apparently is a voice in Guitar Hero.
Cool.
I haven't heard anybody trying to guess too much what she's doing here. There could be any number of things. She could be a relatively minor character, just a person in the Two Rivers. Apparently she had enough lines to justify being at the table read. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll find out. Could be a very different take on men. We don't know at this point. So it's fun. I mean, there's a brief shot of the three Taviren walking in together and sitting down, just those little moments like that.
Heck yeah.
And of course, we do have a brief photo of Rafe actually sitting next to Uta, the folks that are the kind of the creative leads right now. There's also a guy who he's kind of medium dark complected, wears a black sweatshirt and a scarf. And a lot of folks have kind of talked about who is that and what's he doing. Some folks wondered if maybe he's Tam, and he looks a little too young.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, we don't know exactly what the content of the first couple of episodes is going to be.
Yeah, but you do think that Tam is going to be in those.
Tam is a pretty safe bet. If they do have Tom, or if they introduce Tom in the normal place, then, you know, he would be somewhere in there.
Fane, certainly.
Yes. Also, next to him, mystery fella, is a blonde girl who's another total mystery. So we don't know who either of those folks are.
Yeah, somebody online was wondering if it's Elaine. Like, it's probably too early for that.
Yes, I agree. Well, if we're talking about the first couple of episodes, then that really would not make sense to have Elaine. Now, I did hear somebody say that the fellow in the black sweatshirt might be either Ishmael.
Yeah, I could see that, maybe.
Or Luz Theron.
Right. Yeah, we would, if depending on whether or not they go the Winter Dragon route and have the prologue, we need a Luz Theron and Ishmael. Yeah.
And then somebody even suggested, and I thought this was an interesting idea as they explained it, it could be Loghain. Hmm. And what if they started in the first couple of episodes to introduce Loghain elsewhere to give him a little more backstory, even if only for a scene or
I could be okay with that.
Yeah, and he would need a wig. Loghain's got to have those long locks.
Curls,
but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I could totally get behind him being Loghain. This guy who I don't know. There's probably more to be guessed about all of this. We'll probably have more information in the days to come. But I'll say one of the big takeaways from the video is that, yes, indeed, they are straight up doing British accents. Not that there was much doubt of that at this point.
Yes, that's true. It was cool to hear a couple of lines, for sure.
Yeah, we got a couple of lines, and it sounds very much like Barney is going to be a good man.
I was going to say, I couldn't quite understand it. It sounded perfect, and then I looked it up. The lady does shoot fireballs, so let's try to stay on her good side, eh?
Yes.
That was great.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yes. Exciting to hear their voices and feel like, oh, this is really happening.
And I must say, Marcus Rutherford is beefier than I was picturing. He's going to be a good parent for sure. He's a big old,
good
old burly man.
Yeah. Well, especially next to all of these other guys. Yeah. Yeah. When he's walking in with Barney, you kind of get a feeling like, oh, he's a pretty big dude. That's most of what we can milk out of that 50 seconds of video. So I was on the Wheel of Time subreddit, and I saw a new reader who brought up the fact that there's some cool, what he called Easter eggs in reading the books as a Muslim. I just thought it was interesting. A Muslim Saudi.
Huh.
It's a Muslim. And he loves the way he can see his culture in the books, is what he says. He said, for example, the use of Al before some of the characters' names, like Rand and Egwene, means family or friend or son.
I think I had heard that.
There were several other things. I mean, he's talking about the greeting, peace on you, kind of the peace, favor your sword, I think, is kind of... Mm-hmm. That's a much more common kind of way of greeting people in Middle Eastern cultures in general, shalom. He actually mentions as an example of the Jews saying peace as a greeting. And he's saying that the ethnic group Ail, he thinks of the Ail as being fairly similar. Now, I think not in ethnicity, but in culture.
Yeah, I've always pictured them as being like Arabic ninjas.
Yeah.
Swedish Arabic ninjas.
Right, yeah. It says the shufa they wear is called shemag or gutra, where I'm from. He also gives the Arabic spellings there. And he also mentions that the devil is in Islamic theology, is also known as shaitan. Of course, that is the same enemy in the Judeo-Christian faith.
Right.
Kind of goes along with what you and I were saying, I think, in even the first episode about how there may not be full agreement on a lot of things in the Wheel of Time, but nobody disagrees that there is a dark one.
Right.
And kind of interesting even to observe that there's some truth to that in our own major world religions.
Definitely.
He actually says Elias is a Arabic name.
You have thousands of names like Jordan does. It makes sense to reach for different cultures, you know, spice it up a little. Just throw everything in there. That's what he seems to have tried to do.
Yeah, this Reddit user, Harold of Morning. I don't know if his first name is Harold and he's a morning person. He rides upon the dawn. If that's another He Who Comes with the Dawn reference, I'm not sure.
Could be.
But I don't think it would be, because he's just starting the second book, so he doesn't even know about He Who Comes with the Dawn yet.
Yeah, we're getting ready to talk about that ourselves in the next episode.
Right, that's true. And he just mentioned how he appreciated Robert Jordan, obviously long before the current state of things, was showing what he considered to be components of the Arab culture in a mostly positive light, and goes against the Arabs are terrorist trope. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
You think the general, like, stereotype about Wheel of Time or about fantasy in general is that it's about, you know, white people. And so it's not, right. It is nice to have someone say, oh, I feel my culture represented in this also. That is
yeah.
Cool.
Well, and I mean, I see people still today referring to Tolkien as a racist simply because the Easterlings were just bad guys that came out of the East.
Right.
I can understand why they feel that way.
I mean, Tolkien did fight in a world war, so you know, I think that shaped his views a little bit, possibly.
Right. I do think a lot of it had to do with a much more cloistered view of the world in general. People were more likely to kind of just fear differences and think if somebody comes from another land that they're dangerous. But you know, hey, we still got some kind of crazy people showing up from other lands towards the end of the series, even in Wheel of Time. So, after Herald of Morning posted that, another user named Small Eyes with a Z at the end posted about Indian things that they noticed in Wheel of Time. Now, some of this is somewhat obvious. Nynaeve wears a lot of things that resemble traditional Indian jewelry.
Hmm.
Obviously, her long braid, which the poster does admit, like, braids are not unique to Indian culture, but it's a big part of it. Also, the red dot identifying a married woman.
Yeah, you didn't even think about that. I guess it's like when it comes up in the books, it's just like part of the story, and you don't even think about how it, you know, might make someone feel who's from a culture that actually has that.
Certainly would feel like, oh, hey, you know, we've had a ton of fantasy where we see nothing but Western culture, medieval Western culture.
And let's be honest, there's plenty of that in Wheel of Time also, but it is nice that he's, you know, found ways to inject other cultures like that.
Well, it helps when there are so many different kingdoms and they all have very distinct cultures, and they're all shown to be both flawed and very rich and interesting at the same time. Obviously, the turning of the wheel and the reincarnation of souls and everything, that's a big part of a lot of belief in India.
Yes, very true.
So that was a big thing that got noticed. Anyway, I just thought those were interesting. And
that's not something I had really considered. So that is cool to hear.
Yeah.
To hear.
Well, and I had a brief interaction with the Herald of the Morning, told him I was interested in talking about this on the podcast. So.
Oh, cool.
Shout out to Herald. There have been a few little tidbits that have come out here and there about the fact that, for example, they're looking for extras that are of various races that popped out in something. Occasionally, there'll be a photo comes out of some small piece of something on set. There has not been anything too huge. One of the more interesting things was somebody posted a description of someone who saw a Trolloc. I did think it was funny that it was just a description of by somebody
secondhand
who saw it, but they were impressed with the way it looked.
It'll be a big part of those early episodes, kind of setting the tone for the series, really.
Exactly. So they started shooting on the 16th of September, just 1 week after this first table read. So they've been shooting now for almost a month.
Heck yeah.
We probably have, I would suspect, at least the first episode. Probably
shot, at least.
Yeah, probably the first couple of episodes shot. Now, they are scheduled to be shooting for 11 months, according to Madeline Madden, which is, again, it's a positive thing. That means that they're either planning on shooting a lot of episodes or taking a lot of time shooting some really good episodes. And either way is good news.
I'm psyched. I hope we get more footage like this, even more table reads, just any tidbit we can get. I know that there's a lot of people out there who've been waiting a lot of years for this show to finally be greenlit and actually be in production. I mean, it's been development hell for so long. So it's really cool to be getting these announcements. That's for sure.
Yes, for sure. It's like, it's actually happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we just wanted to stop and kind of go through what we know so far. We may continue as more info comes out to do these kind of shorter episodes to discuss a little bit of what we know so far about the show, do updates about news and things like that, and also respond to any questions you guys have or theories. I'm always curious to hear people's theories in regards to, at this stage, things are wide open. So we don't know who's playing what outside of these handful of cast members. Even if you're like, hey, here's who I would still like to see play this character later on, I'm still be interested about it. You can always contact us by going to our website, tsmpodcast.com or tysharmanetherin.com. Either one will get you there. And down at the bottom, we have a contact form you can fill out that'll send to us. You can always share, like, rate us, give us a review, let us know how we're doing, tell us everything that we have gotten wrong here and why we should be embarrassed to even speak and why we're staying on humanity and anything else that you want us to know about how terrible we are. Seriously, we'd love to hear from you. I know that's something I say at the end of every episode, but we're always curious to talk with other fans. So let us know what you think about the table read. Is there anybody that you saw there that you think, oh, this they're playing this person or they're doing this person? We'd love to hear about that as well. So Sam?
Until next time, Tysharmanetherin.